Monday afternoon with Danny Pike. It's time for our sound advice, and today it's all about the gadgets with the gadget detective, Fevzi Turkalp. Good afternoon. How are you doing, Fevzi?
Afternoon. Very well, thank you.
Yeah, great to hear from you today. There's a whizzy little recording gizmo that I want you to get to in a second. That brings out the radio nerd in me, but we'll come back to that. We'll start with something maybe with a wider application. A new phone from Google. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so this is the brand new Google Pixel 6 Pro. So it's a flagship smartphone. It's probably worth putting it in perspective. A lot of people may not realize that Google make smartphones of their own. Google produce the Android operating system, which appears in, you know, Samsungs and Sonys and all sorts of Nokias, all sorts of smartphones. They provide the software. But every so often, they release one of their own smartphones known as Pixel. The latest version is a Pixel 6 Pro. There is also a Pixel 6, but we're looking at the high-end model here. So this is a flagship. This is one with all the bells and whistles. And it's really, in a way, it's designed to show other manufacturers what can be done, you know, kind of proof of concept in many ways. So it's a large screen, 6.7-inch diagonal screen, 24-hour plus battery life on a single charge, 12 gigabytes of internal RAM. Now, that might not mean a lot to people, but what that means is that not only can it run sophisticated software, but it can run lots of software in the background. It doesn't keep having to shut down tasks when you switch away from them. And when that happens, when you go back to the task, you find that, oh, you know, it's no longer on the web page that where you were or whatever it is. You have to restart it. It takes time. To achieve a lot of the performance of this high-end phone, they have, for the first time, produced their own processor for it. So it's called the Google Tensor, T-E-N-S-O-R. And it's quite interesting because phones are doing, you know, a lot more than they used to do. And a lot of it involves artificial intelligence and neural engines and things like this. And so they've designed it to do the clever stuff that they want it to do. And I'll tell you a bit about that clever stuff in a moment. The cameras on these things are quite astounding. 50 megapixel camera on the rear, so that's the one that you'd use to take, you know, photographs, and even for selfies and so forth, you've got an 11.1 megapixel camera on the front. Now, Google are probably one of the leaders in something called computational photography, and this is the new photography, if you like. So it used to be that whatever light came through the lens was recorded initially by film and then later by sensors, you know, electronic sensors, which were effectively electronic film. But whatever came through, that's what was recorded and captured, and that was it. And you could maybe manipulate it afterwards. But the processors in these mobile handheld computers, which we laughingly call smartphones, are now so powerful that they can actually process each dot of an extremely high-resolution image, or indeed video, before it's stored into the memory of the device. So a lot of the compromises that you get with conventional photography go away. So, for example, one of the challenges with photography is getting each part of the picture to be correctly exposed. We've all seen pictures where we're standing in front of, say, a window, and the window's relatively bright, and the camera takes an average light reading, and our face becomes shadowed by it. So what this can do is it can recognize the components of the photograph. It can know what a face is and what a window is and so forth, and correctly expose for each part in a way that no conventional camera could, because with a normal camera, it's just a lens and it records what comes through the lens. Here it's saying, okay, what degree of brightness do I want for this? So you get what's called high dynamic range. You get correctly exposed. So the clouds that you can see through the window will be correctly exposed, as will be the face of the person standing in front of it.
And so how good does that look in the end? Does it look artificial, or does it look natural, like everything's the right colour balance?
Looks pretty good. I mean, I have to say that everything on camera, on smartphone screens, sort of pops a bit. So it does, but it's kind of what people are used to seeing and want to see. It's a bit like, you know, when you walk into a store to buy a TV set, and they demonstrate it, and the colours on the screen or the TV really pop.
Yes.
And it's actually got a special mode for in-store sales, so everything is really bright, and you wouldn't watch it like that, it would burn your eyes out, but but it does it to overcome, you know, the bright lights in the shop, and the fact that, you know, it's a bit like, do you know audio sounds better louder?
Yeah, you want to show it off, don't you?
So it's like that, but it doesn't the computational photography doesn't just end with this very important, you know, high dynamic range processing. It also allows you to do things like magic eraser. So let's say you've just taken a photo and then you realize you've been photobombed by some nerd in the background who decides to pull a face or something. You just, with your finger, you just draw a rough outline of the thing you want to remove. It removes it and then uses the surrounding background to guess what the background behind that thing removed would look like.
That's quite clever, isn't it?
You can remove, and it works really well because, you know, you can do this sort of thing in Photoshop, which is an extremely expensive and complicated package, but you have to, you know, lasso the item quite carefully, as it were, you know, draw the outline. With this one, you can just do a very rough outline, and it works out, oh, you must mean that lamppost, or, you know, because you can have this great picture, and then there's a lamppost growing out the back of someone's head or something because you haven't sort of noticed it when you
rub it out and fill it in.
Yeah,
is this technology sort of quite common to all the sort of high-end phones now?
No, it's not. Apple have sort of gone a slightly different way with it. They also do computational photography and have powerful, you know, processors. But I think Google, have brought unique features. I think, you know, you can unblur faces. You can do what's called the magic eraser. It's great. And also, you know, I'm sure you don't know, but when relationships end and you really like that picture, except the person who's now standing next to you, you can just...
Well, back in the old days, you just sort of rip it in half, didn't you? And that was it.
You don't have to do that. Nowadays, you can put in the new person.
No, that would not go down well in any relationship, seriously. All right, so Google Pixel 6 Pro.
Sims. Yeah, yep. Dual SIMs. So you can have like two numbers. You could have like your work number and your home number or
That's
your personal number.
Yeah.
You can do that. Wi-Fi 6E, which is the latest version of Wi-Fi, so you should get, you know, stunning performance there. 2-year warranty, £849 is a typical selling price, which is a lot of money. But when you consider, I think the top end iPhone is
1,000+.
1550, if memory serves me correctly. So yeah, so okay. You never say your £849 is a bargain, but it's certainly, you know, good value because it stands up against the other flagships, which cost a good deal more. Three stereo speakers, three microphones for background sort of noise suppression as well. So it works out what's you when you're speaking and what's the background and deletes that from the audio.
There's some clever stuff. They're in our bag, they're in our pockets, in our wallets all the time. So, you know, they've got to perform. So that's the Google Pixel 6 Pro. What else? So this recording gadget that you sent us a picture of, Fevzy, to have a little look at. What is this then?
Yeah, so this is the from a company called Zoom, and it's called
not the same as the people we do our meetings with. No.
No, different.
Right. Different Zoom.
Can't have been good news for the Zoom, the hardware brand, when that happened, because, you know, people do get a bit potentially confused. This is called the PodTrack P4, and it's an audio recorder which is for people that, it's designed for people who want to do podcasting, but actually it's great for recording phone calls and other anything else.
If you've got a choir or something, you could plug several microphones into it potentially, could you?
So the nice thing is it's got four microphone inputs. For those that know about these things, and I'll explain why this is special, the gain, the amplification on each of those microphone inputs is 70 decibels, which is huge. And what that means is some of the highest quality microphones are dynamic microphones and particularly useful for people to use at home where their environment isn't treated to stop reflections of audio and background noises and, you know, the neighbor running the lawnmower or whatever it is. A dynamic microphone is less sensitive, so it picks up less background noise, but it does mean you need to amplify a lot for your own voice to be heard. So you get nice. So I'm speaking to you on a dynamic microphone now, and my lips are about 2 inches, three inches away.
I'm talking to you on a red one. Does that count?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
That's as technical as I get.
This is something called Electro Voice RE20. The design of this is many decades old. It's American built like, I always say, if anyone ever breaks in, this is what I'm going to hit them over the head with, because it's really solid. Heavy and solid. Yeah. So, but the point that I'm making is these inputs, these microphone inputs on the PodTrack P4 are very high gain. So you can use really high quality microphones that would normally require you to buy an additional box that would cost, you know, £100-200 again. So you know, you can actually plug in four of those microphones directly. So something like a Shure SM7B or an Electrovoice RE20. These are microphones that require a lot of boost, and this can do it directly despite its diminutive size. It can record onto the memory card that you might see in one of the pictures sticking out the side.
Yep.
But at the same time, it can also record directly onto a computer, and it will record all four individual tracks plus the mix. And the benefit of that is if you're in a hurry to get something out, you can just, you know, upload a sort of stereo mix to your podcast or wherever you need to send it. But if you need to tweak it afterwards, you can change all the relative levels and, you know, remove echo and any other problems there might be on someone's audio. And when you're doing an interview, you know, or you're just speaking to someone remotely, often their side of things can be quite, you know, poor if they haven't got a good internet connection or a decent microphone, and you can fix all of that in what they call post-production, so after the recording, because you've got the individual tracks, you can fix it. Also, I don't know if you see, but there's four buttons in a square to the left of the little LCD screen on the picture.
Oh yeah, yeah. What are they for then?
They're for sound effects. So if you're doing your own like little radio show, you can put in your own, you know,
toys, mate.
Toys.
That's what you want.
Yeah, it's lovely. And the back you've got the headphone inputs. The microphone inputs. At the front you've got the headphone inputs. And what that means is that if you've got people sitting around the table doing, you know, a multi-person Zoom call or a podcast, each of them can have their own headphones with their own level set.
Right.
And one last thing, it does something called mix minus automatically. So I don't know if you've ever had the experience, but where you've been sort of speaking on a line, maybe as a contributor to a station, but it can just be on a normal phone call, and you hear your own voice back at you. Mm-hmm. In your headphones, a fraction
very
of a second later,
you can't speak properly.
Yeah, it actually stops you being able to speak. It just drags out. You can't get the vowels out. You know, what this does is it automatically sends a mix minus, which is, let's say you're doing a podcast and, you know, there's various people speaking in the studio. There's music, there's news, there's all sorts of things going off. You want your contributor to be able to hear all of those things. So your studio sends me a mix minus. It's everything except my voice. So I get to hear, you know,
Donna Summer in a minute.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll stay tuned.
Hang on.
Is it hot stuff?
Love's Unkind, actually.
Oh, okay.
But it is coming. So you get to hear everything else other than yourself, so you don't get confused and discombobulated. And so this P4, this Pods Track P4. What sort of money are we talking about for that?
Yeah. It depends where you buy it. You can get it for as cheap as 150, 200 quid.
That's not bad, is it, Fevzy?
It's really, really good. And this thing will run off batteries as well as, you know, run off the mains.
There
as
you
well.
Go. That's the kit. And all you need now is an imaginative idea for a podcast that hasn't been done a million times already. So good luck, everyone, with that.
Yeah, it's a big universe. You can just nick someone else's idea and do that better.
Put your own stamp on it. Great stuff.
Yeah, that's all. So 4.5 stars for that as well.
Very good. Fevzy, thanks so much. And in the meantime, if you've got any questions, you can always get in contact with Fevzy on Twitter at Gadget Detective or gadgetdetective.com. And we'll see you next time. Mind how you go. Thank you.
Cheers. Bye now.